the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, out, it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. And yes, it doesn't matter where Coach is, he's here because of the Joe Schott Hour needs to be on the air. And we appreciate Coach joining us by telephone again today and far away down in Big Rapids, Michigan, getting set for a makeup game tomorrow night against Ferris State University. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, George. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. You sound great. And we can't wait to talk about Michigan Tech hockey. But here we go. Busy, busy, busy for the Huskies as... coming off two games this past weekend against number 8 Bowling Green, played tomorrow night against Ferris State, head to Huntsville for two games, and then come back again for the final makeup game against Ferris State. And you were mentioning that in your pregame comments to us on Saturday night that this is as close to an NHL-type schedule that these guys are going to get in college hockey.
It is. A lot of teaching is being done on video and very little practice. The practice that we are having, we have to make sure we kind of conserve our energy level for the game the next night. So it's fun. It's, you know, it's getting us together and you know, we'll use the best of this opportunity to grow and work within it to become a better team.
You know, we've been kind of forced to do it, Coach, but are you finding that the guys are getting better at learning from video and maybe absorbing more than they did in the past when it wasn't as forced on them?
Well, if you're talking about in the past, it's no different than in the past. We've always done this. A lot of teaching that you do on the road is by video and by adjustments, and then you try not to overwhelm. But I mean, I think for probably the last 12, 14 years, video has been once it went digital and we got into these EXO systems and things like that, you can have information at your fingertips as long as you're marking. I get people marking different things that we have immediate access to, so we can put them together and then shorten them up and put them in a concise, pointed presentation and sit down with a group of individuals or single individuals. It's visual learning now, which is, I mean, you're seeing that schools are doing a lot of visual teaching. So it's the athletes are receptive to it and actually look forward to it, I think.
But isn't it a little bit different now in that some of the video teaching that you're doing is not being repped as much in practice before they have to try to implement it or into a game?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I see what you're getting at. That's right. So we're making this teaching is game adjustments. What we do when we're at home is we film practice and because we're, you know, we have some multiple practices back to back and we film certain drills in practice so that we can sit down with individuals. And sometimes we have an isolated camera just on one guy if we want. If there's something that we know that he needs work on and we have a drill that's applicable, we'll just keep the camera right on that individual so we can show them exactly what we're getting at if we feel a disconnect of any kind, so we can talk that through. So absolutely, this is all game-oriented. It's not learning. It's, you know, there is some tactical stuff, as in if you know an individual may be going into battle situations and losing the majority of them, you know, you can have those clips from the game, but the actual ability to practice it and rep it isn't so much there unless we spend a little bit of time before practice or after practice on the ice when we have the ice time, just doing a little short version of a technique or tactic.
But as a player, these kids must love this, right? I mean, more dense scheduling of a game of games and less practicing, and that's why you play the game. They want to play a game, right?
Well, I've always felt that way. There's many teams in our league that want to play less games because they talk about the wear and tear that's never held true to me. I think guys, if you're practicing anyways, the guys that would much rather play. I think the best practice you can ever have is our scrimmages, where you can, you know, where they're game oriented. Otherwise, you're just working on repping, tactics, and you're repping some systems. But the games are where you're actually tested on them and executing them at full tempo. So they want to play. I remember a few years ago, people thought that, I mean, people made comments in our league at meetings that no team will ever do what Tech did again, win five straight road games and win the championship. And then we went to the national tournament and played a very good overtime game against a very good Notre Dame team, who ended up losing in the championship of the NCAA tournament. We were inches away from putting that puck in the net in overtime, inches away. And advancing in the NCAA tournament ourselves. So, and that was all road games, grind games, three game series at Mankato. So, the guys would rather play. I think it's good for the players to play. I think the NHL probably has the best technique so that they practice a little bit harder, in their game, day off skates, condensed flow for about 50 minutes. They have the ability, the mentality to bring a little bit more flow to it, a little more game-like. That's one thing that we're always trying to get out of our players is in practice, practicing at their fastest pace, the fastest level. Naturally, as we're maturing, we back out. We don't even know what hard work is until we push it to another level. And then there's always another level, and some never really seek that level. At the pro level, they do. When you're, NHL pro, when you're making a living at it, you have that natural motivation that you want to continue to get that paycheck, because there's always somebody coming up. That's the one thing that our guys are good at it, but we always look for, to be better at that part where you're practicing at a game tempo.
Head Coach Joe Schaan with us on the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. If you have a question for Coach, we will ask those questions for you a little bit later on in the show. Send them to us right now if you're listening on Monday morning live here, DJ at themix93.com. Coach, let's go back to last weekend if we could against number 8 Bowling Green. The Huskies coming in at number 18 into a building that's always tough to play in, always tough to win in, which we have had some great success in that building. We've also had some really tough games. And after a couple of days now to kind of let everything set in, Coach, what are your thoughts overall on the 6-3 and 5-2 losses to a very good Bowling Green team?
What are my thoughts? Trying to channel my thoughts on focusing on getting better. We had some good meetings yesterday. Trying to improve. The real question when you come off of a weekend like that, it was certainly disappointing in a lot of aspects. But when you come off of that, did you get better or did you go backwards? And, to some degree, you can dictate the focus on ways that you can improve and in the mentality to grow. And that's what we're challenging on, trying to solve a lot of issues right now. That will help us as a program and as an individual team get better. And so I think we came out of it with an understanding and an awareness of what we can do, what we can't do, and how we have to, how our view has to maintain and grow in these environments and situations, so to give ourselves the best chance of coming out of tough situations with some success.
One guy that really I thought shined, and I think you did too, Trenton Bliss, of course, a couple of goals on Friday night's game, and just, again, shows up every night and gives 100%, and really, you talk a lot, you use that term a lot, of hard skill. Is he kind of that prototypical player that has hard skill?
Well, he sure developed into a lot of important roles within our team. I thought he and Misiak were far and above our best players with how they brought it. They competed hard. They were effective. I thought they were far and away our best, our most impactful players. They got a little bit, especially Trenton, got a little bit, I think, fatigued still giving everything he had for us, but with the amount of ice on Saturday that he had to log with the special teams, that he logged, and that's one of our discussion points as a staff. I think he fatigued a little bit, only to the point where he couldn't impact it in the third in a one-goal game, like he would have had he had fresh legs and not been trying to, have we not been asking so much of him. So I agree with what you're saying. And the thing about Blisser is, I think Blisser is our Smitty, from last year, in that I think the mood of the team filters around him. I think he's the guy that has the locker room and has the group. And why I say that is when I meet with players individually, they'll so often say, Lister's already, he was explaining that to me, especially the young players. So I think he's assumed a role on the ice that we can't replace, and he's assumed a role off the ice in the locker room and in everything we do that we can't replace. So, he's really, you hit on the head. He's turned into that player that this program really can't do without.
I know there was a lot going on in those two games, and of course we were shorthanded a lot more than of course we wanted to be. But one of the stats, Coach, that was maybe one of the more glaring stats on Friday's game, and we had already talked about this, but 34 faceoffs wins for Bowling Green, 21 for Michigan Tech, and you commented that we need to do a better job with our centermen and our helping out our centermen.
Yeah, and we have we're using a lot of different guys to take draws. Now, as we stated in the past, Justin Misiak is not a true centerman, hasn't really played center, and he's in there and he's doing a good job, and he's actually winning faceoffs for us. But our true centermen, we need to find ways to help them be better. And the tough part about it is how cleanly Bowling Green won the faceoff. So it's not even like you can get guys in to help. Where you can tie up and get guys in and try to come out with the puck. It's when you're losing them clean, those are hard situations. So if you notice on special teams, we have Blisser take faceoffs, or we have Hallinen take faceoffs, or we have other people take draws. Arvid is doing a pretty decent job on his draws, but we certainly need to get better in that department. That's part of our focus, part of what we're working on, spending extra time on some splits and practice and things to try to get better at that part of our game. But it was glaring on possession, and Bowling Green compounded that by being a pretty good possession team.
We were better on Saturday night, I believe, down at Bowling Green. The faceoff totals, if I can bring that back up again, 35-28 in favor of Bowling Green. So evened it out a little closer in that respect. But, yeah, still wanted to get better, obviously. We'll talk a lot more about the weekend and what is coming up with Michigan Tech with head coach Joe Schaan. It's the Joe Schaan Hour. Again, if you are listening on Monday morning, here and not the recording. If you're listening on Monday Morning Live, send in a question. Get it in quick, though. DJ@themix93.com. We'll have more of the Joe Schaan Hour after this on Mix 93.
This is John Nelson, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. It's time for some New Year's resolutions. Don't overreact to events. This spring, the market plunged, but patient investors were rewarded when the markets bounced back. Also, be prepared. Events like the pandemic are obviously rare, but it's never a bad idea to have an emergency fund. These aren't the only financial resolutions you can make, but following these may help you develop habits that could benefit you in 2021 and beyond. Give me a call at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted.
Please drink responsibly.
Today on Hey Culligan, the best things in life are free. Water tests. Let's go to Candace.
Hey, Culligan, how do I learn more about my water?
Candace, let me just test the waters here.
Okay.
Literally test your water.
Oh.
For free.
free?
Free, Candace. In-home water tests for free. So you know more about your water and how to make it better with Culligan water. And Candace.
Yeah?
We're already on the way.
Oh, good.
Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Inspiration is amazing. It can turn this into this. Put it all together, and you get something special. Views is putting it all together with a special price. 99 cents for your Views Alto Power Unit. Available in-store and at Views.com. Views. Charge beyond. Vapor products. Underage sale prohibited. 99 cents plus tax. Pod sold separately. Website restricted to age 21 and over tobacco consumers.
Push it back to the point, and now a shot for the push. Scores! Tipped in front, I believe, a shot from Coach for the point, and boy, the Huskies needed that 2-1. Now picked up by Rockwell. Rockwell up for Goats. Goats sends it over. Here's the pass to the low point, or low to the top of the circle, and a bouncing puck. It flips, and they score! It slipped right through Dobb, and they're going to get a power play goal. With 27.7 left to go here in the period, Michigan Tech has pulled within two. Misiak taps it forward. Here comes Trenton Bliss. He's got a guy in front. Trenton Bliss brings it down. Scores! Oh, what a shot by Trenton Bliss! Short side, top shelf, passed up, and the Huskies pull within one.
Great couple of goals there by Trenton Bliss. That big one right at the end of the second period, towards the end of the second period. It just was big and really made me think that we were going to come back and win that game, but we didn't. Empty net goal for Bowling Green in game one. 6-3 was the final there. 5-2 on Saturday. We'll have a couple of highlights from Saturday's game coming up a little bit later. But, you know, the Huskies are ready to go, Coach, and get to play tomorrow night against Ferris State and do the best they can is shake that off and get ready for the next few games, right?
Yeah, and to keep things in perspective, First of all, you know, congratulating Bowling Green on a hard series, on a hard fought series. I thought they played excellent hockey and made the most of their opportunities for sure. But you know, we gave up 11 goals, which is uncharacteristic of us. We came into the country second overall in goals against, second overall in penalties against in the nation. So second least penalized team in the country. And on the weekend, we came out, Bowling Green had 4 power play goals. We were second in the country, I believe, coming into the weekend on the penalty kill. They had 4 power play goals, 1 shorthanded goal, and 2 empty net goals. So 7 of their 11 goals were of those special team varieties. 5-on-5, it was good hockey.
Well, we lost you, Coach. You there? Yeah, we're losing you, Coach. If you can go back to where you were.
No, I haven't moved.
Oh, okay. I got you now. Yep.
Okay, so I don't know how much you heard, but we, you know, so 5-on-5, if we were able to keep it at 5-on-5, it was, I think we had a slow start on Friday. We had an excellent start on Saturday. Could have gone up 3-1, and had a face-off goal disallowed. But I thought we came out very good, had a really good first period on Saturday night in control, and then, you know, kind of got away from us. So in perspective, 5-on-5, good series. It wasn't indicative, I don't believe, of where the scores were. Both games were one goal games in the third period. We actually had a chance on the power play, gave up a shorty on Saturday night when it was just 3-2 and we were regrouping, in the third. I didn't think we had the legs. I think you mentioned it even on your broadcast. That we looked like the penalty kill had taken its toll on us a bit, and I agree with that. But it was a good hockey game. They scored a shorthanded goal late, and then an empty net goal that makes it a 3-2 game, a 5-2 game. Similar on Friday night, it's a 4-3 game. We battle back. We have great pressure, great momentum. Take an unfortunate goaltender interference call that puts us down 2 men, gives them a 4-on-3, and then they score on that and turn that into a 2-goal game and then an empty net. So both games very similar. Critical penalty kills that we needed to get through at some critical times, and Bowling Green was able to capitalize. So not really, we're not going to come out of it feeling like like we got horsewhipped or anything like that, or that we were totally controlled. We just have to grow and get a little bit better from this.
What about the empty net goals, Coach? I know this has been a sticking point for you over the last couple of years, that we need to get better when we have a 6-on-5 skater advantage and not give up those type of goals. And we had seemingly gotten better at that, but we gave up 2 this week. And I know that's something that kind of sticks in your craw a little bit. Where do we need to be better in that situation, or how do we play that better, I guess?
That's the hard skill level. You know, if you remember a couple of years ago and you look at the personnel we had, we gave up 13 empty net goals on 12 empty net opportunities where we pulled the goaltender. Those were repetitive. We did get through a couple. But if we pulled our goaltender, they were scoring, and that was the personnel we had. We focused on last year with harder personnel, and we didn't, I think we gave up 1 empty net goal and scored. I think we scored 5 or 6 empty net goals ourselves, and had a goal, 1 or 2 goals with the goalie out. So last year, it was a strength of our team. This year, it was multiple turnovers and really trying to steal pucks instead of taking pucks this weekend. Now, these are the 2 that we've given up. We might have given up 1, I think, maybe to Lake State, our second game of the year, but it needs to get better. You can't pull a goaltender and not maintain possession. And, you know, it's a hard skill factor, and what we'll look at today is how we did, the first game. We had it was a good battle on a face-off, and we had one individual that went to soft ice hoping someone would get him the puck, and he was really our backup coverage, and then just 2 turnovers in the Saturday night game where we had a couple guys just throw the puck and then try to steal the puck, that just soft hockey that was able to allow Bowling Green just to go through it, take it, and bring up ice and put it in the empty net. So it's personnel that we have to either change the personnel or get the guys that are out there to compete harder.
When those situations are not going our way like they didn't this past weekend, does that start creeping in to your brain and into Coach Brooks and Dallas's brain as far as, you know, when do we pull the goal? I know we need 2 goals, so you got to get them out of there, but do you start second guessing yourself as far as when you should get that goalie out?
Well, it's easier when you're down by 2 goals because it's a little bit different situation. Some of that is working on, is giving guys an opportunity to play that way, because it's difficult in the last couple of minutes to score 2 goals. If you get 1, you know, you're frantic. If you get 1, then you can get yourself back into it. What our decisions are is again on personnel, because the easiest thing to do, normally your most skilled players are on your power play. And so, when our best players to put it a different way, those are the players that are going to go on your goalie out situation as well. We're primarily going to go with a power play unit and add a player and tweak it a little bit, strategically. So, the question is, do we have the right personnel on the power plays that can handle a 6-on-5 because that's 6-on-5 is more 1-on-1 situations where they aren't just sitting back at times waiting. They are going to pressure a little bit more on a 6-on-5 and play more of a D-zone cover. That's really the decisions that the staff has to make, is because that'll affect our power play as well in a lot of ways, because the same personnel is going to go out on the multiple units for the most part. So that's what part of our meeting plan yesterday and our agenda was involved in that. Do we have the right people, and are these people offering enough 5-on-4 where they're not offering enough 6-on-5 that we shouldn't maybe be looking for a change?
Head Coach Joe Schaan is with us. It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93, and we'll see how much of this hour we need here with Coach. I know he's on his cell phone today. It sounds really good, and we appreciate him taking time out. They are down at Big Rapids. We'll have the broadcast for you tomorrow night starting at 6:30 or right around there here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies will take on the Ferris State Bulldogs, and I guess we could talk a little bit about the Bulldogs now, Coach, as this will be our first meeting against them, making up from a weekend that we weren't able to play. It'll be on a Tuesday night. They're coming off a couple of losses against Northern Michigan, 2 teams that battled this weekend at the Berry Event Center, both really desperate for some wins. And, you know, congratulations to the Wildcats for finding a way to get a couple of wins. But the Bulldogs are going to be hungry and would love to knock us off.
Well, and they're a better team than people are giving them credit for. I'll say that. And they are especially better on their arena. Their rink is a smaller rink. I'll just go in this direction. A member of the Bowling Green staff said post game after our Saturday night game, where I was in earshot doing an interview with you, said I could hear him say that the best team they played all year was Ferris State. So Ferris is going to be a better team than people give them credit for. They are scoring some goals. They got, I believe, 7 on the weekend against, Northern Michigan. So they are scoring some goals and they're always tougher on their own rink. So, we can't take a deep breath and say, okay, now we have, you know, it doesn't work that way because this can turn in a hurry and we're going to have to punch a clock and try to grunt out, probably a 1-goal game and like we did last year and, you know, do the best we can.
Coach, with line combinations right now, are you and the coaching staff maybe not as concerned so much of making sure guys get playing with each other each and every game and have that really good chemistry? Because it seems like no matter where we put these guys, for the most part, they're able to adjust very quickly and get something rolling with whoever they're playing with.
Yeah, to some degree. Where we need a lot more input is out of our centermen and you know, they're working as hard as they can. Justin Misiak is giving us a really good effort at center. Arvid is growing in big ways for us at the center ice position. And then we aren't getting a whole lot. Arvid is still growing. He's still catching up. He's still not dominating the game offensively. Line rushes, leading line rushes, getting up in the play and things like that. Justin Misiak's really the only centerman that we have that's doing that, and he's not a true centerman. So that's the area that we're playing with. And, you know, we certainly have chemistry with Misiak, who makes anybody he plays with better. You look at a situation with Logan Piedla, and he was a 20-point player. And you know, he played with Bliss and with Paratino. This year he's having trouble finding that, not playing with Bliss and Paratino, but we're getting so much more out of the energy that Misiak brings with Bliss and Paratino. Now Tommy's out right now, but we get so much more that even when that line is getting matched, they're still creating offense, and they are getting matched by the best players on the opposition. So, and we're still, they still produce offense for us, where last year in some areas they were able to match us, and we had to get secondary offense from other lines when they were able to match that line with Logan and Tommy and Trenton. So Blitzer has that. So the thing is, do you break up that line to try to see if you can get Logan back with those other guys and get it going? And we just don't feel great in doing that. We think it's better that Logan grows as a player, as an example, as with other players, that they grow and learn to make players around them better. Because when that happens, then we'll have everybody going. You know, a big difference, you know, this weekend was that we played against a team that has skill, that has 500-point guys, one guy at 4 and one guy knocking on the door. That's, you're going back to Patan and Carroll and Blake Piedla, and I think we had one more on that group, maybe Johnstone, I don't know, maybe he had 100, I'm not sure. But I think we had 4 in that group that had 100 points, and we were one of the top scoring teams in the nation, as Bowling Green is. That's what they have, and that's what we need to get to, is where we're having those players that consistently, regardless of who you play, are putting in points. We have a few, as you saw. Blister's doing it against everybody you play against. We need some supporting cast in doing that. That's extremely important for us moving forward. We certainly need better, more aggressive play out of our defense against certain types of teams. We need that big time moving forward. But that's going to happen not by us kind of trying to squeeze a square peg into a round hole. The players have to evolve and grow so that regardless of who they play with, they're finding ways to produce and making each other better. Then we can truly look for combinations based on what their strengths are not just trying to create strengths or manufacture strengths or hide weaknesses. So that's really what we're trying to focus on.
Coach, I got a question for you on Brian Hallinan. Of course, one of the best shots, certainly on our team and maybe in the league. He just has a rocket of a shot, but he only got, I think he only had two shots on goal, one of the nights and one shot the other night, and we certainly want him to have more shots on goal than that. Is he getting the proper amount of chances right now, and is he doing what he needs to do, or how can we get him to get more on net right now?
That's a good question. That's a good question for Brian. Brian's had some games, several games this year where he's been extremely good, and then he's had some other games where he just can't seem to get a move and he's standing still with the puck and things and not moving his feet and that was the case this weekend. That's why he was ineffective this weekend. He was standing around a lot, now nicked up possibly a little bit and maybe not completely comfortable. So we'll look for Brian to bounce back. I think he's getting more consistency to his game. We certainly need him, but he's still a growing athlete and trying to figure out the details. He came in very young to us, and he's still trying to figure things out. So when he's on and when he's focused and energized and when he's not frustrated, he's very good. But I'll say the biggest thing with Brian is not as much his play with the puck. Everything will improve for Brian when his angling skills and his ability to win battles with his size. When those things are dominant every night that he gets on the ice, that's when he'll draw the NHL attention. And because at any given time when someone's at the rink, and he has an opportunity to shine, sometimes it's very good and people come out saying, boy, he's growing, he's doing a good job. And sometimes it's not. Well, I didn't really see anything out of him tonight. And that's where he's got to learn to be involved, impactful, and figure out the game. And a lot of that's going to come off of when you're playing against a team like Bowling Green, let's say, his defensive game where he's forcing turnovers, like Misiak does and like other players do. You have to get the puck in order to make plays, and you can't be always dependent on your line mates to do that. And when Brian gets better at that and he's growing a lot and completes his – rounds out his whole game instead of just being where he gets the puck, because he is a shooter, but he also has to help get the puck in the areas where we can shoot. Or get the puck where someone else might get the initial shot, and then he'll find his ice, and the secondary offense is where he'll get his opportunity. When he figures that out, and he will, when he figures that out, that's when he'll really pop as a player.
All right, it's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. We're going to get to some of our questions coming up in just a moment, and we'll also ask Coach his thoughts on Ryland Mosley and Tristan Ashbrook, two of the newest Huskies, and Mosley playing his first game on Saturday night as a Husky. We'll talk about that and more. It's all coming up in the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your go-to locations for officially licensed Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Visit us at bookstore.mtu.edu for our store hours as well as safe, quick, and easy shopping. Curbside pickup is available at University Images at the Student Development Complex. Order online, at checkout choose in-store pickup, and we'll contact you when your order is ready. Gift card options are available. Shop local, support local. We thank you for your patronage.
Today tastes like movie night.
Okay, whose turn is it to choose?
And everyone's favorite hit, pizza and Coke. It tastes like a passionate debate. And settling for a classic.
Okay, pepperoni then.
Today tastes like front row seats for all. Like cushions and popcorn. And counting the seconds.
Pizza's here.
Today tastes like a slice of the action.
Hey, hit the light.
We belong here and now. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Don't forget, no family movie night is complete without a big comfy couch, your favorite pizza, and some delicious ice-cold Coke. Nothing tastes like everyone you love and everything you like coming together. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Trevo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Trevo Agency to work for you at
482-0080. Ashbrook, Richards, and Artella out there for Michigan Tech. They win the faceoff. Here comes Swire to the front, and they score! What a goal for the Huskies as Swire brings it in. And Blaze Richards gets his first career goal for the Huskies. And he'll go through the line, or did they give that to Ashbrook? Brew's getting down there, but the Huskies able to take it away. Turnover by Michigan Tech. Barber walks in, a shot, and a save by Pianola. Unbelievable stop by Blake Pianola. That was a sure goal, and Blake kept it out of the net. Faceoff coming up inside of the Michigan Tech zone. Bliss will get it back to the blue line again. Goats over to the right side for Rockwell. Rockwell will peel over to the middle. Rockwell walks in, shot, rebound is there off of Rose, and a score! It went in. Hadaroff banked at it a couple of times, and I think Bretzman's going to get the second of the weekend for him, and Rose made a nice save, but the Huskies stuck with it because it wasn't covered up or caught. They take a 2-1 lead.
Some of the highlights from Saturday night's game down at Bowling Green State University here on the Joe Sean Hour. And let's get to a couple of questions that we have for you here today. Coach, let me see what we have. Coach, did the travel to Bowling Green have any effect on the games this past weekend?
I don't think so. I think the Bowling Green power play had an effect on the games this weekend. I don't think the travel. We had good legs on Saturday, and when we started the game, and just got worn out a bit. So I don't believe the travel. I think our combinations were very good.
Next question. I keep hearing that the pairwise is meaningless this season. Can you share how the tournament is going to be done? And we've kind of talked about this before. How it's really kind of unknown right now, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah. It's all over the place. So no one knows anything right now. Or at least the people that know something aren't saying anything.
And remember, for people who are wondering why it's meaningless this year, there's so little, so few games between conferences that, which is what the pairwise is based off of, that it's difficult to have a legitimate pairwise ranking. So,
what I think they'll do, Dirk, and what I think they should do is in this year, each division, each conference will get two teams. What I think they'll do and what I think they should do, in my opinion, is that each conference will get two teams, a playoff winner and a regular season winner, with possibly the exception of the ECAC that is really only playing with how many teams? Four? They aren't playing with many teams. I don't know if they'll just guarantee them one and make another team earn their way in. That would be my speculation as to what will happen.
Also, Coach, can you comment at all about Tanner Carroll playing in Dallas? Les Ferrance did not play yesterday for Dallas, but he did a couple of games ago. But Tanner back in the lineup yesterday, had a penalty and only about 8.5 minutes of playing time in that game. But your thoughts on Tanner and Les Ferrance?
Yeah, I got to watch him play against the Red Wings a couple nights ago. Tanner had a couple of points. He was playing with Pavelski on maybe their top line, second line, maybe whatever. And I thought he looked really good. Joel had limited ice time, maybe got 8 minutes in the game. I thought he looked good, especially early when on his early shifts. And then I believe they moved him back to the taxi squad. I think I'm not positive on that. But I think they moved him back to the taxi squad. But Tanner's doing a good job. Certainly got the skill and the skating ability, and with the players that were out, they more needed a player that fit Tanner's skill set than Joel's skill set. So Tanner was able to jump in there, and he's making the most of his opportunity.
Absolutely, and of course, former Husky Matt Roy taking a hard hit.
Kaprizov down into the corner. Fiala slams Roy into the boards face first. And Fiala will draw a penalty for this one. And a dangerous play here.
Of course, a little brouhaha after that, as you would expect. I understand Matt is doing okay, but that was a wicked, wicked way he went into the boards.
Yeah, it was a hit somewhat similar to the hit on Bantle Would you agree with that?
I would, absolutely, yes.
On Friday night, both of them were it's very similar. Maddie might have lost his balance a little bit going into the boards where Carson probably didn't lose his balance as much, but very similar play, and that was dangerous. And that's probably what caused it where Maddie went in, you know, took a lot of contact on his head when he went into the boards, much like Carson did, but Maddie's was certainly harder. And what happened on it is, talking to Maddie after, he said that he had a slight concussion and his knee was sore. So I don't think he'll be out for a long time. The classic thing about it was that Fiala, who's really an honest player, was deeply concerned about it, it sounds like. So that's, you know, that's good. And he ended up getting a few game suspension out of it. So, Maddie will be all right. It won't be anything that sounds like as of a couple of days ago will be lengthy in his time out of the lineup.
Yeah, and though it looks worse, thank goodness he got his head up instead of, you know, his head going down in a situation.
Yeah, that was huge. You know, his head was down, and that's why I said it was very similar to Carson's, because Carson knew what was coming and arched his back as best he could, as Maddie did. Maddie arched his back as far as he could back when he felt the initial contact coming in, and was able to get his head up enough and take as much as he tried to avoid. That head down, when you go get driven in with your head down, that's where it's dangerous. Now, even with his head up, there was still a three-game suspension given by the NHL on that play. So that's how the NHL, you know, protects their athletes for sure.
All right. Thanks for those questions here on the Joe Schaan Hour. And we'll take another quick timeout. Be back with more right after this on Mix 93.
Introducing the new Budweiser Nitro Gold. A lager brewed with nitro for a silky smooth finish. As smooth as my voice. So smooth, you'll enjoy hearing me read the legal disclaimer. Enjoy responsibly. 2020 Anheuser-Busch Budweiser Nitro Reserve Gold Lager. Ale in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri. All rights reserved. Kind of like new Budweiser Nitro Reserve Gold. Available now. That's right.
February is a cold, short month, but the deals are long and hot at Buckos and Calumet. All six packs, canned 12-ounce beer on sale. All 2 liters, $2 for $3. Pepsi 12 packs of cans, $2 for $10. All 28-ounce Powerades, only $1. Grab some Skinny Pete's baked goods from their ever-growing inventory, along with your favorite frozen foods. Stay warm this winter with Kiwanis alpaca gear. And pick up your snowmobile trail stickers, ice fishing licenses, and bait. All sales do not include taxes and deposits at Buckos. And upon checkout, leave your request on what you would like from the Buckos food department.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. More questions coming in. We'll get to that in just a second. But, Coach, there's a rumor going around that you've got a new guitar. Are we going to hear the guitar at any of these road games on the road one of these days? That would be really nice to hear it.
Well, it's kind of hard. Well, you know, you never know. The guitar, the guy that we like to hear on the guitar is you. maybe just get me and some of us in the background just kind of hiding, pretending like we're doing something, and listen to you and listen to you play, and then really get your singing to drown out all of our guitars. So it'd be fun. It'd be fun to get together for sure.
Well, I bet you can't wait to try it out a little bit more, because you had a birthday last week, but you've been on the road for most of that time. But that is pretty cool. And I know your wife bought you that. Is that right?
My wonderful wife. So she gets, I think, her deal with me is I like trying to fiddle around with leads, and she gets bored with the monotony of me trying to figure out a riff over and over and over. So she always says to me, just strum something. She'll come up from the basement. Just strum something. Just strum something. So I think that's what she can say. Hey, I love to hear you play. Just strum it.
Next question for you, Coach. How's Brendan Dedema's development coming?
We would certainly, and Brendan's a wonderful young man. He's a great young man. Both of us would certainly like it to be more escalated than we deem it is currently at this time. Last year was a little easier situation for us in handling our decor as a whole, because what we were able to do is we felt that we had more depth at the defense position, and we're better off playing an extra defenseman than we were playing an extra forward. So that opened the door for dressing an extra defenseman. And on any given night when we felt one of them was struggling, and maybe not completely up to the game through inconsistencies and things, then we could shorten it if we had to, or we could just, if there was a good rotation going, we could work it that route. This year, we don't feel we feel our strength and our need is more in getting different players, as we've done recently with Tristan Ashbrook, worked him in, as we did the other night with Ryland Mosley, working him in, that's the area. You know, we have Blaze Richards, who's doing a good job for us, that we want to have in the lineup. Some players like that we feel the forward position is more. And that's limited those easier opportunities for defensemen, because the six defensemen that we dress are playing. And that's kind of what's been tough, is that we think that there's been a pretty good separation. I don't think you can argue the improvement and what we've seen out of Tyrell Buckley. I think he's done a tremendous job for us. As a matter of fact, this weekend, as a staff, we felt Leiper was the most effective for us, and we thought that Buckley was the second most. Now, Bucks isn't going to be a big point producer for us, but his defending and his shot blocking and his elimination of time and space was pretty good. Just needs to continue to work on his first pass and things like that. So those guys are pretty good. Those are the guys that probably would be most in line for replacement potentially with that. So that continues to work. We're better off if he can take somebody's job and make somebody better. But right now it's a work in progress, and we feel that our extra player is better. It's better for us as a group to dress an extra forward. Like right now our big consideration is with Pogge. Can we dress, you know, like for our penalty kill to get that back straightened around? Do we dress Pogge as the extra guy? But we have other guys. I don't want to take Mosley out of the lineup. I really liked him the other day. He has bite. He plays with speed. I liked him. And Ashbrook is quickly becoming a more integral part of our team, because he can make those plays around the net. He can score. And now he's competing, and his engagement is getting better. I mean, he had played for basically a year when he came to us. He's showing what he can do for us. So it's hard to take we have to make room in the lineup possibly to get do something like getting Pogge in the lineup to improve our penalty kill.
And Tristan Ashbrook getting his second goal as a Husky this past weekend. And you look at what we talked to him before Friday night's game, I believe it was, and asked him about getting acclimated to the Michigan Tech hockey game, the systems and stuff like that. And he says that he feels the guys have welcomed him in, and that the coaching staff has made it as easy as possible for him to fit in as best he could, as quickly as he could.
Yeah, we just, just sitting back, each guy taking a little bit of time, each coach, certainly players on the team spending time with him and explaining things as well. We have a great culture and a great group of guys. Sometimes we'd like them to be a little less great and a little bit more aggressive, but for the most part, we have a great group of guys, and we'll continue to grow as a team. I really enjoy coaching this team. We just got to keep continuing to grow and move over, get over that hump and get ourselves consistently performing on critical nights.
Well, game time tomorrow night, Coach, is 7:07. Give us an idea on your thoughts going in to this matchup against Ferris State University. We're going to be playing this team, barring any other delays, quite a bit in the next couple of weeks because they're coming back to Houghton for conference games in a couple of weeks. But we play them here on Tuesday. We play them again a week from Tuesday, and we need a couple of wins against them. But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, well, these are actually the conference games.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, that's why we're playing them. And that's the craziest thing in the world that, I mean, if you look at a couple situations, and I'm just talking about for scheduling, a couple of crazy situations. We have a series canceled with Lake State a couple of weeks ago. Both us and Northern are available to play that weekend, so we play. And we're requesting, remember, we have Blake Dell out, Bliss out, Pertino out. Excuse me, and we're asking for those games to be, let's make those league games so we can get in our other stuff later. And no, we're holding the non-conference schedule. Now we're going to Huntsville this weekend. We don't need to play these non-conference games against Huntsville. We could be making them up potentially against another team. No, we're playing the non-conference games. And we have Ferris coming up in a couple of weeks. We're playing Ferris right now two times. We have that series in a couple of weeks where we could use that to make up some conference games. So I can't make heads or tails. To me, the conference schedule should be most important, the games that are for points. But I'm just sitting back, and we just put our team on the ice and play when they tell us to.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to go with it. Well, we're looking forward to it. One other question came in, but it was actually for me, Coach. They're asking how they can line up our broadcast with the Flow Hockey TV stream. And
I've heard that many times.
Well, the way you can do it is go to pasty.net and get our stream version, our online version of it, which is delayed just a little bit as it is, and then you can also pause that and try to line it up with Flow TV if that's what you're doing. And we thank you for doing that if you're so inclined to get our broadcast on these road games where, you know, we're not part of the Flow TV audio. But, yeah, you can go to pasty.net and go to the Michigan, the Mix 93 broadcast and take it off of there, and you can pause it and try to line it up. It shouldn't take you too long to line it up and get it in sync with the video. Well, Coach, thank you very much. You know, everything is different this year, and for you to take time out and be able to do this by cell phone, we really appreciate it. I know the listeners do as well, and we can't wait for that game tomorrow night and two more this weekend, and then next Tuesday before the Huskies finally come home. But have a good day of practice today, Coach. Get ready for that game tomorrow night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Great. Thank you, Dirk.
All right. Head Coach Joe Schott in the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.